You know, Mother's Day is a bit of a challenge for me in terms of just doing what I can to make sure women are applauded in terms of their role as mother, that they are affirmed, they're encouraged, they're built up, they're comforted, all the things that would be right for a mom to know and experience in the context of Mother's Day, and, you know, how I get there in terms of, you know, being that as the pastor of the church. And so therefore, before I continue, I'm going to, let me continue my thought in that. So therefore, what I've done this year is I've thought about the promises that God gives to all people, but how mothers internalize that particularly. So I've asked certain women to help me effectively in terms of what God means to them in the context of those promises. So I'll be sharing that in the context of where we are this morning. But to just let you know some notable facts about Mother's Day. More phone calls are made on Mother's Day than any other day, approximately 122 million. 65% of all greeting card sales occur within the first 5 days before Mother's Day. Women purchase 80% of all Mother's Day cards. Interesting, huh? 1/4 of all flowers purchased in the year happen on Mother's Day. Over $3 billion of revenue there. Most of the sweaters worn by Mr. Rogers on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood were made by his mom. On Mother's Day is a busy day of the year for the restaurant industry, with 62% of Americans eating out on that day. Mother's Day became an official U.S. holiday in 1914, signed into law by President Woodrow Wilson, and there are over 100 countries around the world that celebrate or recognize Mother's Day on their respective dates. And so again, the world recognizes the value of a mother, and so does God as well. And so certain promises that God gives to you in terms of how it would meet you where you are, in Him being for you, what you need. And so the first thing we will look at is God's love endures forever. And so just consider that in terms of as we look at Isaiah 54, verse 10. And so it says in this verse, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be moved, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. And when I think of this verse in terms of the mountains that would be shaken, the hills that would be moved, think of your life as a mother. Think about your experience in terms of the, you know, some of you are new moms, you're dealing with a baby, some of you have teenagers, some of you have adult children. Think about the aspects of your life where you would say, you know something? The mountains are shaking. The hills are being removed in terms of all the things that you would face, all the things you would otherwise expect. You know, I think about external circumstances that come about where, like, I didn't think it was going to be this way, or I thought it was going to go this way, and it hasn't. And now my whole world seems to be falling apart. And what you internalize as a mom when that's happening, you know, I think there's an aspect of you as mom that safety and security are very important to you. Stability, like predictability, you know, the ducks are in line, that everything is managed and controlled. And sometimes life does not happen that way. Again, a promise that hits mom right where they are, what mountains have been shaken, you know, hills removed, particularly as it relates to your children. Again, things that happen to your kids that, again, you didn't expect. I didn't expect that tragedy or that illness or that thing. I mean, basically what I see in the first part of this verse is anxiety hovering over the first part of this verse. And yet in the context of that, God says, but my love endures forever. Because of the fact that God loves you, He knows. We know He knows you. We know He knows He cares for you in terms of all that you would need and all that you would desire for Him when, again, things are unpredictable for you. Things are inconsistent for you. Again, things haven't worked the way you expected. But just to know that God is always the right expectation. He is always the foundation. He is always the one that is coming alongside you in your love, His love for you. You know, one mom, in reflecting on this verse, you know, rather than thinking in terms of God's love for her love for her children and even other children, says this: as a mother, there is nothing my child could do that would shake or diminish the deep love I have. Nothing they can do that would make me love them less. I rejoice with the successes, weep for the poor choices, but will always be the cheerleader and always love them no matter what. And so what I like about that is when that mother reflects on her love for her children, that is really representative of God's love for her. And in some ways, you as moms understand God's love more than a man does in terms of the unconditional nature of your love, your consistent commitment, being always your children's cheerleaders in terms of whatever they're doing or whatever they have done. And so again, the fact that God has this promise for you on Mother's Day, God's love endures forever for you and the comfort and consolation you receive from that. The other promise that we have in the context of Mother's Day is God is always with you. You are never alone. So do not fear. In Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so again, God declaring his presence with you. I mean, it's another promise significant to a mom because there is a tendency for you to feel alone in your role, even with a house filled with people. As one mother says, as a mother, I am constantly surrounded by people, kids, family, friends, yet all too often, as a caretaker and organizer behind the scenes, I can feel isolated and alone. For that, I need to remind myself that God is always with me. You know, when I think about the difference between men and women, you tell a man that he's going to be alone, he says, great, you know, time to go in the man cave, time to get some yard work done, you know, but for a woman, I'm alone. Again, even in the presence of all these people, I still feel alone. And to recognize that, again, God is always with you. He is always by your side in terms of being present, in terms of what you're experiencing, what you're going through, caring about that. You know, God always being willing to hear from you. And God always be able to understand where you are and then minister in the context of what you're confused by, hurt by, again, whatever it is that you're feeling, God caring about that and being able to answer the issue of your heart. See, you internalize things differently and deeply. At times, your husband and children don't understand. Again, women, you internalize things differently than a man. You internalize them deeply. You know, when you go to a man and say, why don't you care as much as I do? Because, again, in many ways, we don't. We still care. You know, by the way, you know, did a message once, again, on Father's Day, and, you know, kid resolves the message by dads don't care for the kids. No, that's not true. But we just care differently. And again, because of the fact that you care so deeply and differently, you can feel isolated in terms of that care. That again, when I'm alone in the context of what I'm trying to accomplish, what I'm trying to foster, what I'm trying to be, and no one seems to be joining me. Again, I think that is the thing that causes women to feel alone, even in the context of all the people around her, but to know, again, God is always with you. God is always present. He is the one that, again, for that which you are doing that is right, again, he will support you. He will guide you. He will undergird you in helping you accomplish that. And for those things that are wrong, that you're feeling or perceiving, God will instruct you in terms of just what he would provide for you in the context of that. So the assurance that God is always with you, he will never leave you or forsake you. That's what Deuteronomy 31:6, Hebrews 3:5-6, I think it is, repeats that, quotes Deuteronomy 31:6, and just affirming again, God will never leave you or forsake you. And so the next promise, God strengthens the weary. In Isaiah 40:31, it says this, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And so again, God ministers to the weary, ministers those that are weak and vulnerable. You know, when you think about just the larger swath of truth in the scriptures in terms of how consistently God talks about taking care of the vulnerable, taking care of the weak, taking care of people that feel like they're stretched, feel like they're overwhelmed. Again, that life isn't working or it's not managing in the way that they would want. You know, God, I'm tired. God is the one who meets people in the context of that. You know, one mom says, you're always tired from sleepless nights with a newborn to sleepless nights worrying about your teenager or young adult. And so God comes alongside those who are weary. Again, you know, there's one, you know, this in terms of God's strength for the weary, that's not one that moms have a corner on, but certainly identify with it. In some ways, your consistent, unvaried tasks seem endless. You know, something that I think about in terms of being a mother and the things that are normally assigned to you, again, I know for myself and Karen, we define things according to pretty traditional lines in terms of, you know, she's one that's cooking and cleaning and doing dishes and washing clothes. Not that I wouldn't assist at times, but more often I'm doing other things. And so in some ways, maybe this fits more for that. But I think there's an aspect of the repetitive nature of those tasks where it can kind of be daunting in terms of always seeming like you are tired. Or again, do I have to do that again? Do I have to get that done? You know, there was a time in my life where I just became convicted about how daunting it is to think of what to prepare as a meal. I mean, it's one thing to cook a meal and do all the work that's involved in a meal, but to plan a meal 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and then on top of it, it's laundry and it's cleaning and it's kids and so on and so forth. Weary is a good description of what a mom becomes, and I do believe that it's an aspect of that relentless aspect, the repetitive nature of that, that is wearing itself. The comment I have next, I mean, it's not just physically tired, but sick of it tired. I think moms can get to a point where I'm just sick of this. But God knows your plight and has put it in motion in some ways. Again, when you think about what God created in a family, well, what would then result in terms of the kind of things that would be needed to happen? Again, when you just have the reality that we need to eat food, and someone has to prepare that food. Someone has to kill it. Someone has to get it. Someone has to prepare it. So, you know, and the more tasty it is, and the more time you take, the better off it is, or the more healthy it is, or whatever what might be. Like when you think about the fact that we need clothes. It's fair to say that we need clothes, and so therefore those clothes have to be washed. Those clothes need to be mended. All the different aspects that would come in life. And I think there's just a natural thing that comes when you are the child bearer, you then become the child rearer. And again, I don't think there's something bad about that. There is certainly nothing dismissive about that. Understand there's nothing less than in that. Again, when you recognize that your role as a mother and you're raising a human being, there is no greater task. There's nothing more noble. There's nothing more praiseworthy than that. And so don't ever be minimized by the reality. And men, don't you ever dare minimize your wife because of what she's doing in the context of that. Because that is a glorious thing. It's a necessary thing. Again, it's something that God established just making us the way that we are. But women, when you're weary and you're tired, again, God ministers to the weary. He comes alongside those of the weak. And so therefore, he is our consolation. He is our refuge. And that is really the next promise that comes in terms of what you would have for Mother's Day, is God is a refuge and strength in times of trouble. And so Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And so when you think about raising children, and there can be a lot of trouble sleeping, trouble walking, trouble with relationships, with decisions children make. You know, Karen tells a story where, I'm not sure at what point in time, we had 4 kids 5 and under. So now that's 4 kids 7 to 2, 9 to 4, just imagine that. So I'm not sure in what time frame Karen tells this story where, again, it's all the responsibility she has, the kids, mommy, 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 mommy. And then they're probably fighting together, and she was just, I just don't want to be a mom anymore. And so she went in the closet. And she hid in the closet. And then she said at one point in time, some little fingers came under the door and said, mommy, are you in there? And then she remembered what it's all about and how important it is in terms of what God had given her to do. But again, God is your closet. God is your refuge. God is your strength. And see, what's amazing to me in the balance of what we would have in comfort and consolation for someone and then suck it up, buttercup, like that balance that comes in, you know, what God is able to do in reference to that. That, see, again, it's not only am I a refuge, not only am I a place to run to, but I'm also your strength. I'm also the one that can build you up. And I think for women, oftentimes that is, we oftentimes think of strength in terms of physical strength, and maybe that's consistent with when you're weary, but there's also an aspect of emotional strength. Again, that things are hard. Feelings are hard. Again, when you're hurt, when you're angry, when you're frustrated, when you're sad, when you're disappointed, when your kids aren't doing what you want them to do, or they're being disobedient, or they're being defiant, or they're colicky, or whatever it might be, or they're sassy. You know, just like you know, apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You know, but anyway, like whatever you're facing. Again, God is your refuge and your strength, that he can equip you. He does equip you in terms of all the things that you should be and would want to be. You know, what I hear most in terms of what women wrote is, I internalize, I want to be a good mom. Like, I recognize the responsibility that God has given to me, and I want to fulfill that. I want to raise good kids. But again, what that means for you in terms of now there's trouble, that it's not going the way that I expected. So again, God sees that. You know, when you think about what you would want your kids to be, again, particularly when it's consistent with who God is, consistent with what God would emphasize, God is on your side. Like, as much as you're working on them, he's working on them. And he's working in circumstances as well. You know, as one mom wrote, nothing has warmed my heart more than my children, and nothing has broken my heart more as well. Right? In terms of just like the first time one of our children said, I hate you. You know, again, broke my wife's heart. In terms of, like, what? Like, does that mean I'm, no, it doesn't mean you're a bad mom. It probably means you're a good mom. like, you're probably doing something they didn't like. I know that you're holding them to a standard that they don't like, and they've got to vent emotionally and try to convince you to be something different. So again, God is a refuge and strength in times of trouble, and he is with you in that. Another mom wrote this in the context of this. While I adore caring for my kids, protecting them, providing for them, and pouring myself into them, sometimes the sacrifice can leave me so tired, drained, and empty. And for that, I am so grateful to know that God strengthens the weary. And when it feels like there isn't an ounce left in the tank, and I'm not sure how I can pick up one more sock, cook one more meal, or deal with one more emotion, drama, or problem, I am blessed to know that God is my refuge and my strength. And so again, that is a promise for you as moms as far as what God is to you and for you. God provides for your needs in terms of another promise that God answers and is available. So again, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Again, all your needs. Whatever it would be related to. Again, whether that would be physical needs, whether that would be emotional needs, whether that would be relational needs. Again, God is able, God knows, and he cares, and he's willing to meet you where you are. It is interesting that God has made you uniquely as a woman And that leads, in most cases, to be a mother. Yet there are parts of being a mother that doesn't meet your needs as a woman. And so there's an aspect of that in terms of Jen. Then what are you as a mother? Where do I fit? What makes me significant and important in terms of being a woman? The next statement there, many speak of losing themselves in being a mother and issues of identity. How do I define myself? As one mother shares, motherhood for me has been the most wonderful blessing, but it has also been a journey wrought with emotional contradictions and challenges. I'm honored to be known as her children, their mom, and at the same time, sometimes I feel like I've lost sight of who I am. Kelly was and is. And those times I reflect on the promises that God is faithful, and He knows who I was, who I am, and who I will be. And I am His child, even as I raise my own children. So again, God meets your needs. Again, He knows all the things that come up in the context of your life and meeting you where you are and fulfilling you and answering you and comforting you in the context of all that you face. And so again, many speak of losing themselves, you know. I think in many ways we are always looking to outside of ourselves to find out why we're important, why we're special, why we're significant. You know, I think oftentimes maybe women do that more in a relational context than a man. The man does it more about accomplishment and this is what I've done and what's external to me. A woman oftentimes does it what's internal to me. Again, how do I find myself? How do I define myself in terms of now this great responsibility I have? And it's very easy to get lost in those responsibilities. Again, well, where am I? What am I doing? Why am I doing all those things? And again, God provides for your needs. He knows what He has made you as a woman, and He knows the things that you need. He is the reference point. He is the resolution. He is the one to seek. And again, I love that song where, He calls us deeper still. Like, even when we understand Him, even when we think like, okay, I've come to a place where I'm really settled in who God is and what He is for me and how I pray to Him and how He speaks to me and how He guides me in terms of things. But then God says, I want you to go deeper still, because who you are in your person is deeper still. And so whatever might be there in terms of, okay, why am I operating as a wife the way I am? Why am I operating a mother the way I am? Well, you know, God is the best reference point in terms of God. What are my needs? What am I going to bring to you, and how are you going to meet with me? And so God, you know, when we think about the needs that God is able to address, it's every aspect of your human condition, every aspect of your soul. And so He, again, is the place to turn to. And as a mom, again, He provides for your needs. You know, God fights for you is another promise that comes to you as a mother. In Exodus 14:13, and for that, I think 14, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring for you today. The Egyptians you see today will never see you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." And so, I think there's a great tendency for mothers often to find themselves defending their children, or at least wanting to defend their children. Maybe they have been mistreated or treated unfairly or bullied or haven't gotten a part in the school play or whatever it might be. You know, there's a great aspect of being a mom in terms of, okay, the mama bear, you can mess with me, you can mess with my husband, don't mess with my kids, right? Isn't that something that, you know, the protective nature of a mother? So now all forces that are out there that are against, that seem to be against your children, you know, there's this great tendency for you to fight for them, for you to defend them. But realize that God is your defender. God is the one that is beside you, fighting with you and for your children as well. As one mother shared, when the father dares to discipline your child. Like, there's a point at which, again, you're the one raising the kids, you're ministering to the kids, and all of a sudden dad comes in and he says, well, this is the consequence that needs to happen, or this is how this situation needs to address. And one mother said, you know, and I've got to be in a place where I'm saying, like I've got to give him that right. Like, I've got to recognize that he has a reason to be here. Like, I recognize my reason, and I want to defend my children against my husband. And, you know, looking at that and the balance of what God would bring in a family, to say that there's a mutual understanding that needs to be accomplished in terms of what you would want to do as a mother that is more encouraging and uplifting your children, and a man that would be more strict. You know, again, that balance of comfort and consolation and bucket up, buttercup. A woman would be more about the consolation and the support, and the man would be more about suck it up, buttercup. And so both of those things are necessary. And in the same way that God provides that for you, God in structuring a family provides that. But, you know, when you feel like you need to defend your children, realize God is your defender, that God fights for you. Like, God cares about injustice. He cares about things that are unfair. He cares about people being mean. And the fact that he will engage with you as you engage for your children. And so again, God fights for you. Psalm 32:8 says this, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. And I think that's the end of it, right? And it's just interesting that this was the thing that most women spoke to in terms of God being their God. We all need God's guiding hand in our lives, but this is the promise that the moms who commented on the most. And one mom said this, even more difficult is the challenge of knowing that I, as a mom, am trying to raise good humans that love God, put others first, and will become successful adults one day. And often I am filled with doubt that I am even qualified to do such a thing. When I feel like I am just making things up as I go along, I can take comfort in the fact that I am following God and seeking Him as I face each new challenge, that He will guide me and meet all my needs, including the wisdom and discernment required to teach my kids each day, even as I am still learning myself. One mother shared this not long ago. Now an empty nester, I was inquiring of the Lord whether I should get a job or start caring for foster children again. At first, we considered getting foster children, but God said to me, no, you will be taking care of adults now. I was wondering if I was hearing correctly, but just waited. Within 2 weeks, a young woman asked to move in with us for a while, and then her children, child and wife, asked to move in with them so that they could save for a house. There it was, a house full of adults. I also thought maybe I should get a job. I wasn't sure. I think I was just flailing, trying in my flesh to find direction, but even God used my grasping and floundering. I got a job. In hindsight, I think it was merely so that I would not be in the house when my husband had a heart attack, and so he would have to call 911. If I had been home, I would have driven him, or he would have driven himself, and he most likely would have died. As I traveled to work several times before the heart attack, I asked, is this what I'm doing for the next 5 to 10 years? I was not sure, and God answered no. About a month later, I was let go from my job. I felt somewhat rebuked for having looked for a job and not trusting God in the uncertainty. Some time has passed, and I have had two individuals ask me personally, will you help me? Both are paid positions, but I did not seek them out. I see both as a ministry that God guided me to. I'm helping people that I care about. This person actually has Psalm 432:8 on their desk. Being a mom is the most challenging job I have, more than my regular stressful job. You're responsible for these little lives, to nurture, teach, and encourage them to follow God. It can be overwhelming, especially as they get older and are influenced by so many. outside forces. So I think of that verse often. I picture him watching me, his eyes on me, counseling and nudging me, especially during times when I feel like I'm failing as a mom. I noticed I have much more peace when I keep that in mind. And so therefore, again, God is the one who guides. God is the one who leads you. God is the one that knows the future when you don't know the future. And so again, a comfort, a promise that comes to you as a mom. God is faithful, and we'll go through the next two fairly quickly. I wasn't sure how long each of these promises would take. It says in 1 Corinthians 1, where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. Is that all? I think that might have been 2 Corinthians then. Yeah, so anyways, okay, what's the point? This is hard. God is faithful, and other people aren't. And women, you tend to be more faithful than other people. And so there's an aspect of God being faithful to you that is vitally important in terms of what it means for you. Again, you expect people to act in the same way that you do, to be as faithful as you are, to be as committed as you are. And sometimes other people aren't. And so therefore, to think that God is faithful, God is the one that is consistent. There is no promise of God that he will ever back out on. There's no promise of God that he will never fulfill. And so know that as other people are not faithful, God is always faithful. You can always turn to him. Again, when that unfaithfulness confuses, hurts, angers, frustrates, God is the one that I can cling to his faithfulness in terms of all that he is. Yeah, I think people sometimes don't even mean to be unfaithful, but it's different from what your expectation. Again, different than what you expect about what faithfulness looks like to you. And to know that God is faithful in just the right ways to you. And so God is also good. When you think about just who he is in his character, again, the promise of what he is trying to project to you. You know, for the word to say effectively that God is good in his character, but then the great promise we have in Romans 8:28 is significant. For the Lord is good. So again, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. There's that faithfulness word again. And so we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him, who have been called to according to his purpose. And so again, God is good in terms of just what he is fostering in your life, what he's fostering for you, what he's fostering for your children. One mom wrote, but for me, the promise of God that is essential for me to remember every day is that God is good. He can work all things out for good. He can take broken me and use her every day in the lives of her children to learn from her mistakes, to break patterns of unhealthy behavior, and to become the men and women God has called them to be. And so God promoting his goodness in the world by bringing goodness for you. And then lastly, the fact that God is that's not the last one, right? Yeah, it is. Okay. Sorry. It is the last one. So my desire today, again, is that moms would be encouraged. They would be built up in the promises of God. And how all these things the Bible says in and maybe a subject or, you know, in other aspects or other ways we might internalize, I wanted to help you see that there's an aspect of what God promises to you that meets you just where you are. in terms of all the things that you try to accomplish, all the things you try to be, all the things you need in terms of your life, in terms of being a mom. God is the one. He is the reference point. I like in summation what one mom wrote, where she said, "Motherhood is a gift from God. We as mothers can glorify our Father in this task. However, unless we let him in with his love, guidance, faithfulness, we are not glorifying our God or raising our children spiritually. We need him in all aspects in the nurturing of our children. What our children become is our willingness to let God intercede. I love being a mother and feel very blessed, but it doesn't come without its challenges. Without my dependence in God, things have turned out very differently. Even when exhausted at the end of a busy, challenging day, God provided that new energy the next morning. My children are all adults now, but I continue to glorify God as a mother. Once a mother, always a mother." And I'll just end with 10 things your mother never told you. Number one, you made her cry a lot. She did want the last piece of cake. It hurt her when you behaved badly. Number four, she was afraid. Number five, she knows that she's not perfect. Number six, she watched you as you slept. Seven, she carried you a lot longer than 9 months. Number eight, it broke her heart every time you cried. Number nine, she put her children first every time over her. And number 10, she would do it all again. Let's bow and let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you are a God that is so complete and so able in terms of all the things you are to us. Father, I do pray that as moms seek you and seek you in worship and knowledge and comfort and guidance and help, Father, for all these promises to ring true for them, in terms of just meeting them where they are and being for them what they need you to be. I pray, if anything, that every mom's relationship with you would be strengthened. That, again, you would be the comfort, you would be the consolation, you would be the one that their identity is wrapped up in terms of who they are in Christ. And then, Father, from that, to receive from you all the things that would help them to be the best mom that ultimately they desire to be. And so, Father, as we turn now to ultimately glorify your Son Jesus in the sacrifice that he made, in recognizing him as his be the point of connection between us and you, Father, we just pray that as we celebrate this communion on Mother's Day, that provision of the cross would meet us in a more significant way. And so, Father, we lift this all before you in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.